Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our loving and merciful Father, who art in heaven, we turn to thee. The source of truth and life, thou art truth and life and love. We praise thee and we magnify thy name as we come together and bow our hearts in humble adoration before thy throne. We pray that thou would bless thy word as it would be opened, and as thou, Lord, by thy Spirit, would be present among us, and Jesus Christ might be present in our midst as two or three are gathered in thy name. We pray, O Lord, that thy word would speak clearly to our hearts, that thy instruction and the joy would come to us, and that we would receive thy blessing. We give thee thanks. We give thee praise, for thou art worthy. May our hearts ever be inclined to worship and adore thee. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, let's turn to the word as contained in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. I'd like to read the entire chapter.
Evangelie po Marku, četvrta glava. Evanđelje po Marku, četvrta glava.
And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? God bless the reading. This chapter contains the teachings of Jesus Christ and many parables. It speaks of how Jesus spoke to the crowds and gave this parable of the sower and of the seed and of the grounds. And it was given in this veiled manner to the crowds, but then expounded upon to the disciples. And then Jesus goes through and explains what it means. He answers the disciples' questions and how they're eagerly interested to understand what is Jesus speaking of. I believe that's our desire as well. We come to the house of God to hear the word, and we would desire, as it were, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear him explain what is it that he means and how does this apply? What is his direction? And what is his message to us? And to have that heart of yearning for an understanding and for him to reveal and open his truths to us is a good posture to take when we come before the Word of God. And so Jesus does this for the disciples. He explains to them the parable, and then he tells them about a candle. He tells them it's not brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed. Isn't it put to be put on a candlestick? Isn't there an expectation that when someone is given light, that it is not to be hidden, that it is not to be obscured, but it is given for a purpose, to be put on a candlestick so that those who come into the room would receive the benefit, would receive the blessing of having the light to be able to show them what is going on in the room, where are the dangers, what is around them, and what it all means, and how it all fits together. Jesus is explaining this parable to the disciples so they would not be negligent to share the word, to repeat what they heard, to teach and to pass along to others what Jesus intends for his church and for the world. He says, "There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." And he tells his disciples, those, that inner circle that he's talking to, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Do you understand your part in knowing the words of Jesus Christ to make them manifest, to make them known? Jesus explains about the sower and the word, and he speaks about the hearts of men. And it is that truth and reality of the hearts of men that the word is intended to illuminate and to explain for us. We read in the Old Testament that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can provide clarity to mankind so that we can understand what are our motives? What is our direction? What is important and valuable? Who can do that but Jesus Christ? And he gives warnings about the conditions of men's heart. And he sends forth his disciples to remind his church and the world, really. He sends us to be a light of the world and to bring this message, to let people know that Satan is on the prowl, that he is seeking to devour whomever he can, that he is active and he wants to take away from you the word of God that is sown into your hearts. Even my friend outside of Christ, your heart may be like a wayside that is compacted and weighed down and solid and hard as a rock through the deceitfulness of sin. And Satan is waiting. He wants to just take the opportunity, and he doesn't waste much time, to take away the word that's sown in your heart so that it cannot have opportunity to penetrate. You're in danger. You're in a place of a risky situation. The word is given that you might have hope, but you have an adversary And there is a world that is teaching you that you can have the blessings of this world and its material possessions. And you can have that and you can have the Lord. But the two are not compatible. You cannot serve two masters, Jesus says. Peter goes on to say in his first sermon to the world, save yourselves from this untoward generation, the world that's going in the wrong direction will lead you to destruction. It's underneath Satan's power and Satan's sway and Satan's direction. And it may trouble you to realize that you are part of that. That your heart is just as hard. Your heart is just as uninfluenced by the Word of God as those who are in the world that are proclaiming things that are backwards and are false and clearly wrong. That you are also susceptible to Satan. And he is desiring each of us. He's longing to deceive. He's longing for the opportunity where he can drive a wedge between even a believer and his Lord. Do you know the reality of your heart and the situation that it is in and your dire need? The disciples and the apostles, they faithfully proclaimed this and they warned men of this roaring lion that is going about to seek whom he may devour. And it is no different for us today that he is still seeking hearts of men. He's still seeking to sow his discord. And he is at work. And we must be watchful. We must be careful who we allow into the door of our hearts, who we allow to influence us, and how quickly it is that the word gets sown and Satan can take it away. Paul told Timothy to take heed to the word that he had heard. It was able to save him. It was able to save all of them that hear and receive it. But we must take it to heart. We must, with diligence, hold to it. It's not a foregone conclusion that you come to church, you hear the word, and you will automatically be affected. You need to make the choice. And that's the choice that the gospel gives to each and every man and woman. A choice to be free from the power of Satan. But the choice is not one of easy believism. It's a choice between the cross and the blessings and the riches of this world. It's the scorn and the shame and the humility of following Christ and the acclaim and the high status of the things that are esteemed by this world and look like they will give pleasure, but they only do so for a season. Make it known. Make it clear. Make it clear that you believe that this world is corrupt and you want no part in it. And that is a teaching that must be proclaimed to those who know not the Lord so that they can find repentance and know what they need to turn away from. And that we would not give an uncertain sound of who we are to follow and who we are to flee. Make it known to the hearts that are the wayside. He says of the stony ground that in one environment they seem to flourish, but in another environment they are vulnerable and they perish. And this is a warning for us. We have had it physically very good. And it is a sobering thought to think that we can flourish in an environment that is peaceful, in an environment where we are not persecuted. But what will happen when the sun in its scorching heat comes up spiritually for us? When times of persecution do come, where will our heart be? Will our heart be penetrated by the root of that seed? Will it be broken? Will it be surrendered? This is the light that penetrates the hearts of men, so that we can ask ourselves and that we can be brought to the point of question and of choice today while there is yet time to prepare for those times that are coming and that are maybe even at the doors for us. In the Roman time, after this teaching was proclaimed, the Christians were accused of bringing all kinds of terrible things to the earth. Even though they brought peace, and they prayed for peace, and they sought to do good to their neighbor, they were accused falsely. This world, who is steeped in falsehood and is deceived by every imagination of man, don't we think it's possible that they could unjustly accuse believers of the same today, or maybe even tomorrow, and bring upon a persecution and look to believers to find an excuse and a scapegoat? We must be ready. We must not fool ourselves that under one set of environment we look like we flourish, but when the environment changes, we change. And for that, we hold to God's word. Because it's God's word, it's that seed that never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is upon faith in his word that we hold. Not in the goodness of the ease of this life that we enjoy but for a season, but to God's word and his foundation that is able to carry us through any environment, any situation. We are to remember the word that goes to the hearts that are the thorny ground, that it's very possible for other cares and concerns to enter in. And the apostles did this. They remembered Jesus' words, and they brought it out as a light. James says to the rich man, "Weep and howl, for your judgment is coming. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold is cankered. These things that you prized and valued, they're coming to nothing." Paul told, I believe, Timothy that they who are rich, they who will become rich, are going to be taken into a temptation and a snare. The warning was faithfully given by the apostles and repeated of what Jesus Christ said would happen. He brought these things to light because they're true. But Satan's lie is that, no, you can have your faith and you can also flourish in this world. And Peter says that many will follow the feigned words that are given. Those fake words that say that you can have both. But it will lead to destruction. Because Jesus has spoken it. But Jesus has spoken a simple word of peace and hope to the good ground. And it is very simple. It is very simple. It is a simple message to hear and to receive. Not to push back. Not to say, "No, Jesus, you don't understand. It's different today." No, Jesus understands completely. He knows very well. the temptations that we face. He knows very well what the judgment for mankind will be when all of our works will be laid open and bare, and we will be judged by whether we have done good or whether we have done evil. And so Jesus calls us to be light, so that the world might see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are not the light. We're not the source. We're merely instruments, like that candlestick. An appropriate place where God's glory might be made known and his word might come to life and be demonstrated and be shown in clarity. To repeat, just like the moon, it reflects the light of the sun. It has no light of its own, so are we. The light is given. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 I'd like to read that relates to this light. Paul says to the Corinthian church, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." Back up just a second. This ministry that we've received is to share the light of Jesus' word and to live it. And so how do we do it? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, he's speaking about the wayside again, and the God of this world, who is Satan, who is blinding minds of those who believe not. You see what holds you back, my friend? Because you believe not, Satan holds you in his grasp. But if you would believe upon Jesus Christ, he will provide you deliverance from Satan's grip. He will show you the way of peace. Jesus has said that whoever believes upon me shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So this God of this world blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, this is the light that must be shared, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a blessed ministry. What a blessed opportunity to share the light of Jesus Christ. What a treasure that the only light that could give clarity and direction, that can give meaning to souls who are hungry and are lost and hurting, is Jesus Christ. And that we have this treasure. We have been blessed with the Word of God. And so with humility, we desire to share it. Share it in word and also in deed, because Jesus said that the light is going to shine that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That no glory would be coming to us, but that we would be simply used as instruments in God's service. And maybe find some meaning to our physical existence here on earth. That there would be a reason that we wake up. That there would be a reason to the tasks that we apply ourselves. much more so than just the daily grind of activity, but that God would redeem it, and that he would use it to make himself known. The word tells us that Jesus Christ is that light. He's the light that came to lighten every man. He shows us what's true about our hearts. He shows us what's true about our condition. He shows us what's true about the world. He shows us what's true about judgment and about eternity. And he gives it to us by way of warning so that we can choose him. Paul even tells Timothy that Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. You know, when you walk into a room that's dark, it's unclear what's in the room, what's in front of you. It's unclear what the purpose of the room is, too, if you've never been there. And that is what life and immortality are like without Jesus Christ. Life is darkness. Life is hopelessness. And we see that in the world playing itself out, in a world that pushes the love of Christ away and the commands of Christ away. And they turn to wealth. They turn to drugs. They turn to friends that can't help them, who are also blind. And there's a hopelessness. There's no solid footing. They're groping in the darkness, and they can only figure it out through experience. They have to go and they have to touch. They have to see. That's a dangerous thing. If you're going through a room just with your hands, you're bound to fall and stumble and hurt yourself. And God sees man stumbling and falling and hurting. And he sent Jesus Christ to shine a light so that we can see what's true. That we can see what is the purpose of this place that we're in. How do things fit? And how do we use this life and redeem it for God's glory and for a purpose greater than ourselves? How do we go about it? That's the beauty of the light of Jesus Christ. He is that light. And we're called to be a part of that light. We've been reading in 2 Peter chapter 2. We were reminded on Wednesday night about this light. It says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." There's a growth to this light. It's a light that shines in a dark place, which is a much welcome sight. But we're warned in Jesus' parable, yes, you have this light, but don't compartmentalize it. Don't just stick it on a particular day of the week, but let it shine throughout, each and every day. Don't just leave the light to influence and impact certain parts of life that are known to people and are seen to others so that you can appear righteous. But let that, as the verse ends, let that day star arise in your hearts like the sun that shines and brings light to everything. Don't compartment. Don't just hide it in a portion, like under a bushel or under a bed. But bring it into the candlestick. Let it bring the light to all of life. Let God review and see and he will show us the way. In conclusion, we'd like to read what something of Apostle Paul, as he perhaps reflected upon this teaching of Jesus Christ. He wrote to the Ephesians something about the life that is filled with the light of God. What does it look like specifically? He says in Ephesians chapter 5, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." If we do not walk in love and love our brethren, we are in darkness. First and foremost, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Christ is the light, and we are reflecting his light. Christ is the love of God, and we are reflecting his love. And he hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We have been called to be a light that makes things clear, to shine the truth of Jesus' understanding upon this world of darkness and obscurity. And Jesus simply asks us to hear his word and receive it. He will provide all that we are needing, that the fruits will come as we trust in him and lean upon his word. Amen.